Getting ready to buy or sell a home in 30, 60, or 90 days? Then check out BundleSelect.com to find out how you could save 20% or more on your entire transaction. Save on real estate, lending, and title. With BundleSelect.com, technology and a personal concierge are at your service to save you time and money. Bundle Select's hand-picked team of experts will compete for your business, so you'll save thousands of dollars by bundling all of these services. BundleSelect.com gives you all the control, including using your own realtor. I'm Joe Kucher with Real Estate Radio Live, and I have been on the radio educating consumers for years. By bundling services like real estate, lending, and title, you could save tens of thousands of dollars. Act now, and this new model could save you money on your move, lower your interest rate, or cover your closing costs. Visit BundleSelect.com. That's BundleSelect.com.
The estimated minimum savings are based on a comparison with a national average. Individual results may vary, and the estimated savings are not guaranteed. Bundle Select, Inc. is a licensed real estate broker. California Bureau of Real Estate Broker, license number 0046-6902.
Welcome to Real Estate Radio Live, an informative and engaging podcast discussing everything you need to know about the world of real estate. Your host, Joe Kucera, provides you with insight and guidance on how to buy, sell, finance, and invest in real estate. He also offers real estate tax management strategies, new construction advice, home improvement tips, and much, much more. And now, to guide you around the world of real estate, here's your host and Real Estate Radio Live team leader, Joe Kucera.
Welcome in. Good afternoon. Joe Kucera with Real Estate Radio Live. Thank you again for those tuning in on Facebook. I appreciate following, giving us the feedback, comments, and keep them coming. Keep it growing. Pass along to your friends, family, coworkers. Also, be sure to download the podcast. That's the best way you could listen to the show at your convenience whenever you want. And we will continue to give you the information that we started out. Again, I like to remind everyone as I kick off the show most of the time or some part during the show that our focus is education and information. We believe that if we provide that to you, the consumer, and help to make you a more wise consumer in your decisions in and around real estate. We're fortunate, though, over and above real estate, to have guests like Jack Russo, who I'll introduce again in just a minute, and those that are on the show on a regular basis to really provide you, the consumer, more education around what's going on in Silicon Valley, in this case, entrepreneurship, starting companies, what goes in with that. We've really covered. We've started this series, gosh, a couple of months ago, Jack, I think.
We might be at 8 at this point.
We're at 8, finishing up. Mm-hmm. We got a lot more material to cover, though.
Right. It's really a number of chapters to a book that will eventually get written. But the idea is really to help the entrepreneur understand that it's not just about filing some paperwork with LegalZoom or some automated service. You have to really think about all the stakeholders in the business, and it's not just the shareholders, and it's not just the founders and the executives. It's everyone that relies on that business. I mean, Facebook is a good example because the customers as stakeholders are playing a larger role, and the government as effectively another stakeholder representative is playing a role. And the reason I raise them is because our topic today, I think, should be the next thing to look at is what is your actual customer agreement? What is the document you're using to explain the terms of service, the way you do business, what risks you're taking, what risks you're not taking, where the customer has to understand the beginning, middle, and end are to what you do. And I think what's going to happen here, and I'm not a lawyer for Facebook, and currently we have no litigation against Facebook, but there's going to be a high, bright, intensive light on all those terms and conditions, word by word, phrase by phrase, sentence by sentence, paragraph by paragraph. And as much as they put a lot of work into that contract, it's now in the crucible where it's being crushed and considered for whether it actually disclosed enough of the potential that bad policing or things that Facebook, I think, has owned up to already will cause damage to people who will sue, typically through class action lawyers, sometimes individually, and will get recourse from the courts.
Yeah.
And so those agreements are not just let's grab and cut and paste and do something. Let's really think through what we're doing and what we're doing with information. And I'd like to tell some stories about that, but let's go with your questions,
too. It's a great intro. And before we do that, I want to also talk a little bit about, right along these same lines, is you know, it's so funny how the all these Silicon Valley companies were kind of darling companies, right? Everybody's having fun, social media, you can't go wrong. These guys are high on their pedestals. And this is a perfect example of kind of growing really, really fast in a new industry, new models, and all of a sudden, boom.
Right. The only thing that's missing, the only thing that's frankly missing from the story in my mind is Facebook did not name a baseball stadium. Usually,
that's
the,
a good point.
The height of hubris for most of these companies
right.
is they get to such an extreme valuation that they could throw $100 million at
right.
sort of buying the naming rights for what started as not AT&T Stadium. What did it start as? Pacific
Pac
Bell?
Bell.
Pac
I think
Bell,
it was
or
Pac
even
Bell.
Before that? Was it
That's
something
right.
else? Was it Cisco? Or
no, I think it was...
3Com or...
I don't
God,
know.
This is
I
an interesting
was,
historical question.
I thought it was
question.
Pac Bell, yeah. And then, of course, you got Levi, which I was surprised that a internet company didn't take that one. Here we go, Levi. But, yeah, before we jump into all that, because there's so much here... Again, we have Jack Russo with us today, as we do typically once a week, depending on the schedules. He is the managing partner of the Computer Law Group in Palo Alto. Tell us, again, give us a little overview, Jack, of the firm, yourself, and then we'll jump into our topic
right,
today.
Right. So I started the firm over 30 years ago, leaving a great firm that is still great. But I was wanted to be more focused on the entrepreneur.
Speaking
and,
of that.
And so we started a practice with a view that we would represent entrepreneurs, and we do. And we tend to see people at the earliest stages, although, mm-hmm. frankly, we see a lot of now, as we're all getting older, we see a lot of serial entrepreneurs like yourself mm-hmm. who have done 2, 3, 4 successful, sometimes 5, sometimes even 6 startups. And they come back and say, you know, I'm ready to do number 7. And we like say, great, let's talk about what you're going to do and how are you going to do it. We saw... Well, I saw one this morning, and you know, literally it was, I'm going to try to do what other people think is impossible. I won't disclose what uh-huh. it is, but I took a deep breath, and I said, boy, you have ambition, and I guess you expect to live to 100. And, of course, he said, I sure do, and I'm going to make this a great success. And,
wow.
You know, when I get, I think the remark that he made, which is probably off of some TV program or something, was, I get backed into a wall, I just knock the damn wall down. And you got to give people like that credit because they show a lot of ambition and they make yeah. things happen.
Yeah, and actually we have so many different shows that we could do. I would like to, at least 1 or 2 shows down the road, talk about the psychology of starting a business like this. We talk about the mechanical part and the contracts and getting money and the right advisors. But, you know, get more in the psychology of it, right? What makes you tick? How does it work? How do you stick with it? What happens when you, you know, get into trouble?
Motivation is a huge litmus test for most VC and certainly super angel and angel mm-hmm. investors. They want to see if there's real fire in the belly,
right,
that
right.
you're committed. You're going to knock those walls down mm-hmm. when they get in your way. Now, the flip side is they don't want you to break too much glass the way some people do. But fundamentally, they kind of look for that tribal instinct mm-hmm. to say, you know, I'm out there. I'm going to turn the taxi industry upside down with the way in which these little devices. And frankly, I still think there's a lot of runway for the way in which these little devices are enabling things that before were impossible. I mean, the latest thing last night, just as a joke to bring some levity to the story. Someone sent me essentially a new sleeping aid device that it's like a helmet you put on. My wife saw me open the box.
Oh, they sent it to you.
Yeah, it's like I'm opening the box, right? And I don't know, maybe they want me to represent them. I forget the story. There's a backstory to it. And I'm examining like the end user agreement because this is actually going to take sleep data.
Oh,
during the
okay,
night. So
okay.
you're wearing, we're wearing headsets.
It's gonna track you, yeah.
We're wearing these headsets, but now these are like little helmets you uh-huh. put on. So think of, it doesn't have a little whirly thing at the top, but it might as well. Little thing you put on. It connects by Bluetooth to your smartphone, okay. whether Android or iOS, and it enables much more measurement of what's going on during your sleep. Right. So some people call this a sleep study. Years ago, these were very expensive studies
right,
because
remember.
People who have
sleep
problems,
apnea,
sleep apnea,
all, yeah.
snoring, right. whatever you want to call it. When that happens, they have to figure out, do you have obstructions? Do you have some signaling issues that are failing to get your brain to mm-hmm. work correctly? There's a lot of knowledge, and sleep, of course, affects everything. It affects your diet. It affects your energy level. It affects your motivation.
Right. Yeah.
And so people, it turns out a lot of the world, most of probably Silicon Valley, don't get enough sleep. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's lots of reasons for it. There's, by the way, when you finally get through the end user agreement, because they're collecting biometric data, it's getting sent up to the cloud. I'm looking at this very thin end user agreement and saying, man, this is a minefield that they haven't even realized. And I'm looking at it and I'm saying, they're not even realizing, like, in 5 years, someone's going to be tearing this thing apart the way the Uber stuff is being torn apart. And they haven't covered a bunch of stuff in here about what they do with that biometric data. Now, the data could be very valuable because they could sense that, well, maybe in Silicon Valley, based on zip codes, the reality is people are doing stupid things when they're trying to get their normal 7, 8, 9 hours of sleep. Mm-hmm. And that massive data can play into changes in recommendations that flow back to our medical community. So there's a lot of value there, and Apple and others are right in the middle of it. Mm-hmm. They're right there in the middle of it.
Well, boy, there's a lot. Well, let's cover, kind of winding up this series, customer agreements. You've got some great examples. You just had one today, I think. How important, I guess, first the set the stage, if you will, customer agreements, how important are they? And then give some examples.
Right. So the day is over when people just do business the way, say, my parents and their little
handshake
supermarket. You come in, you buy something, maybe you're lucky enough to get a receipt, maybe not. You get change and so on. Back then, they didn't even take credit cards. Credit cards were not really even invented. If they were, they didn't take them. Everything was cash, right?
Uh-huh.
And you made change, and I learned how to make change as probably a six-year-old now that I think about it. And you start facing with the public that's engaged in a sale transaction.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, there's still supermarkets and people still buy and sell stuff without signing a contract. Oddly, though, the supermarkets are moving in a direction where you sign a contract, walk in the store, and to have everything automated on the way out. Mm. That's part of the latest Amazon move with this Whole Foods, this self-checkout stuff, which is going to save a lot of money for them and give them instant inventory control.
Right.
That's a big deal.
Right, it is.
So now the days are over in 99% of businesses that you see that at all deal with the internet economy, where there isn't going to be some type of text that represents the agreement that you're making with the customer.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you call the customer a licensee, a subscriber, a customer, a client, they are someone that is using your product and service, and they have a set of expectations, and the contract has to deal with what is the precise scope of those expectations. Now, the other thing that seems to be over is people don't negotiate these things. Mm-hmm. In fact, they don't even sign them in ink. They sign them electronically. And indeed, we're even seeing this in real estate, which historically has been very much tied to a system of using notaries and having ink signatures and verifications. We're seeing electronic, at least for listing agreements and even for offers of sale.
Right.
We're seeing electronic transactions where literally you get the document. It's already frozen. There's no negotiation. It's pretty much check the box.
Right.
Now, you could try to negotiate that. In fact, I just did a deal the other day where the broker was like, yeah, we'll lower our rate to 1%. We want to get this listing. We think it's a property that's going to sell quickly. That's a big discount.
Yeah.
And that represents real competition that's starting to happen in the real estate market. That person uses electronic contracts. If you say to him, can you print it out for me? He's like, are you crazy? I'm a streamlined service here, man. I don't have secretaries running around with printers to deliver paperwork and to have even a meeting with you.
One of the reasons he could do 1%.
Exactly. His point is, well, can we have a meeting to kind of like shake your hand? I says, you know, here's all my testimonials. This is who I am. Here's my picture. I'll send you my picture. Here's my website. Here's my videos. And by the way, and this is a point I want to make about when you do a contract, when you have a lot of advertising material, videos and other stuff that makes representations, the court is going to read the contract as being informed by the way in which you present yourself. So if Facebook if Facebook were to say, which they haven't, although they might have to sooner or later, you have an absolutely protected set of information. We will absolutely assure your information never gets into the hands of the wrong person. And they do a bunch of videos about that stuff. And the contract says, no, none of us is protected. We can do whatever we want. Thank you. The court is going to look at those representations and say, wait a minute. You've induced people to sign a writing electronically, click wrap or otherwise, based on a presentation that is completely inconsistent with what you've got as a document. I'm going to read anything that I can read as suggesting that there is some protection in favor of the customer. So when you do these agreements, I like to say whatever you draft should be very customized to your product or service, and you should test it with ideally 10, maybe even 50, maybe even 100 people. Some people call these focus groups. Some people just say, hey, they're friends and family. Let's see what they think. And say, you know, look at my videos, look at my presentation, and then read my contract. Is there something that I'm going to get tagged on? Because sooner or later, when you scale a business, you'll get people that will eventually be dissatisfied. It's an unfortunate fact of life that you can't necessarily satisfy the needs of everyone. So that's when the contract becomes highly relevant and the boilerplate gets read in a way that is most strictly interpreted against the draftsperson because there's no negotiation.
Yeah.
There's little or no negotiation there. And that's a big principle that people need to be aware of when they decide that they're launching a business and they're getting beyond the pure prototype stage to actually do it for revenue.
Okay. All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back and continue our conversation with Jack Russo. We're talking about customer agreements, how important they are. On the other side, we have some more examples for you and the reason why you really need them at every aspect. So this is Joe Kuchera with Real Estate Radio Live. Again, we're going to take a quick break. For those that are on Facebook streaming live, stick with us. We'll be back with you to continue in just a minute.
For more information on today's program, visit reradiolive.com. That's reradiolive.com.
Getting ready to buy or sell a home in 30, 60, or 90 days? Then check out BundleSelect.com to find out how you could save 20% or more on your entire transaction. Save on real estate, lending, and title. With BundleSelect.com, technology and a personal concierge are at your service to save you time and money. Bundle Select's hand-picked team of experts will compete for your business, so you'll save thousands of dollars by bundling all of these services. BundleSelect.com gives you all the control, including using your own realtor. I'm Joe Kuchera with Real Estate Radio Live, and I have been on the radio educating consumers for years. By bundling services like real estate, lending, and title, you could save tens of thousands of dollars. Act now, and this new model could save you money on your move, lower your interest rate, or cover your closing costs. Visit BundleSelect.com. That's BundleSelect.com.
The estimated minimum savings are based on a comparison with a national average. Individual results may vary, and the estimated savings are not guaranteed. Bundle Select, Inc. is a licensed real estate broker. California Bureau of Real Estate Broker, license number 00466902.
Welcome back to Real Estate Radio Live. For more information on today's topic or guests, just visit reradiolive.com. That's reradiolive.com. Again, your host for today's edition of Real Estate Radio Live, Joe Kuchera.
Welcome back in. Joe Kuchera with Real Estate Radio Live. Continuing our conversation, visit with Jack Russo. Today's in studio. We try to do this once a week if we can, and talking about customer agreements, how important they are. We gave some examples, what's going on at Facebook on a higher level, of course. And Jack works with entrepreneurs, startup companies, a lot of experience in this area. Before we continue this conversation, Jack, remind the listeners, if you were, and the viewers, your firm, what you guys, what the area of expertise is and how they could reach you.
Right. So the best way to reach us is by either phoning 650-327-9800 or by reaching us through the website, which is computerlaw.com, or I'm Jack, J-C-K, at computerlaw.com. We often see people initially at no charge to just see if we can help
evaluate
them. I mean, and often it's sometimes extremely, other lawyers are like, nah, this isn't going to work. I don't even want to bother with you. Right. And we tend to see people that are sort of breaking walls and changing things. And in many ways, we like those people because we think they are the people of the future. And we're one of the few firms. In fact, last night I was talking to a big firm, a lawyer from a big firm, and he was like, we don't even see these people unless they have venture capital. I was like, they're probably not the Jobs and Wozniaks of the future. You know, that's just the reality. The people that are really making things dramatic, or at least thinking that way, they're a little bit weird. They're a little strange, frankly.
So you guys have a good niche. You know what you do it well, and you attract those kind of people, right?
And we try to help them, even if we think they're, particularly if we think they're not on the right path, and we try to suggest paths that will work that are not necessarily the customary path of venture capital. In fact, we like to say we're more hitched to the entrepreneur and the entrepreneur's continuing success and continuing control. The money, there's a million different ways to raise money and a million different sources for it. It's fungible. It's like a commodity. It's these days almost like the water out of your tap. There's high quality water and you're going to pay more money for it, but there's water all over the place.
Yeah, there is. All right, let's jump back in, and we're talking about customer agreements, how important they are. Everyone should have them. I mean, I'm guessing, Jack, again, just as a review, I guess at every level, right? Is there anything that you would say, oh, don't worry about it? The minute you have more than one person, I guess, is that's the minute you need to start worrying about contracts.
Right. So the case this afternoon, I serve pro bono for the court in San Jose, both federal and state court. The case this afternoon, I was a neutral on. I won't go into all the details, but generically, you have badly written agreements that are, in this case, they're actually sort of, you know, apologetic about this, but we actually first wrote this draft in 1996. We never really updated it. I was like looking at him like, how can that be? And you raised the issue about an audit, which is good companies do have hygiene of annual audits, not just for the numbers, but for legal. And even if you don't have an in-house counsel, you can get an outside lawyer to take a look at, hey, what are we doing right now? How are we doing it? Should we update this paperwork? Should we amend it? It's what we've used in the past. And, you know, they're facing a big case that's going to go to trial next week. I was there as the settlement judge, and won't describe, obviously it's confidential, the back and forth, but extreme positions on each side about what should happen. And at the end of the day, had the agreement been updated or been better written, they probably would not be there. And all that expense and all the time, it's going to be apparently a two-week jury trial. And, I mean, the judge who's dealing with the case is like, they really have to have 2 weeks? Does it really have to be a jury? Because it's a big social cost there. So what we do as lawyers, the truth is what we do as lawyers, which is hard to describe to most lay people, is a good lawyer will look at a document and anticipate what could happen here, and then interact with the client of, well, what do you think about this, and what do you think about that, and how do you think about this, and how do you think about that? Now, no one wants a 50-page contract, and no one wants even these days a 5-page contract. And when you're doing electronic contracts, you got to do them in a way that makes them understandable. In fact, there are laws in different states about plain English, where you have to do your contracts for consumers in particular in plain English that they can read, short, simple sentences, easy to understand, and particularly in deals dealing with financial instruments and the like. It's got to be done correctly, and it's got to be done in a way where time is put in and you test the result to make sure it's understandable. And it's not really yet, but it's getting there, where you can use some automation. You can use some grammar tools and spell checkers and maybe even some new AI programs. That's a whole other topic we should cover because it's starting to change the industry, where literally there can be some greater testing. And to me, the testing is almost like software. It gets better with more testing.
Right.
And you discover, wow, we didn't cover this, and we need to cover that, or we need to simplify this. So I made the Facebook example, and I asked the question at the break, did any of those lawyers anticipate the kind of of crash situation that could play out in a black swan moment when all of a sudden you've got the U.S. government, the state attorney generals, class action lawyers, the European Union. You got all of these gigantic entities filing lawsuits, putting that end user agreement under the super intense bright light. Did that person or persons, it might have been a committee, did they even think, boy, we really have to think this through. We really have to anticipate that there could be an explosion here.
Right.
I mean, right now, you know, the latest press is like Facebook is in a nosedive. And can Mr. Zuckerberg pull the throttle or pull the steering wheel up to what is that called for a plane? You know what that is, right? The stick or something? Pull the stick up? You have to pull you have to pull on something to get it out of the nose.
Pull out of a dive.
You have to pull
dive.
Out of the dive, right?
A nose
so,
dive. That's
so
right.
I mean, here's a guy.
It took me back 20 years.
I mean, you know,
now.
Here's a guy. Yeah, that's right. You were in the airline field. I'm asking you. I knew there was a reason I was asking. You work for Delta Airlines.
That's right.
So imagine here's a guy. He's never worked for any other company before. He doesn't have a lot of experience. And he's now in the crisis of his life.
Yeah.
Now, interestingly, I don't think he's quitting.
No.
He could obviously retire if he wanted to. He actually can't be fired because of the way he set up the original stock deals, which is an interesting governance issue for the board. He's got to walk a tightrope of being able to convince all of these stakeholder interests and representatives that he's going to do the right thing.
Yeah.
It's a major It's a major leadership moment there.
Before we just have a couple minutes left, one of the things that I'd like to have you wrap up with, Jack, and what came to my mind here with customer agreements, legal agreements done right, you had talked a lot about with me personally what we do, insurance, different things. I guess the picture is you're not only doing this to protect yourself legally, but as a company when you're a startup, aren't you also preparing to have – venture capital people come in that are going to invest money, look, advisors, they want to see this stuff,
Absolutely.
Right? I mean, there's another component there.
It has lots of different audiences, and there's a great segment on one of the years, I think it was last year's Silicon Valley TV show, where there was bad drafting of the end user agreement to not cover the COPPA statute, which is the children's online pornography statute. There's a bunch of federal law that you have to anticipate where you have individuals under 18 years old getting access to your online system, and Facebook does. And at the end of the day, there's a great example where they didn't cover that issue, and the lawyer's like, yeah, the class action lawyers are going to kill us. We might as well close. It's like pretty much the world is over. And I think the great scene is Ben actually loses his position as CEO. He crawls into his bathtub. So if we had a moment to flash that on a screen, we would. It's a very funny segment
of that show. We'll be able to do that soon.
It's so apropos to explain that to people because literally here's a company that's ready to take off. It's ready to get its next injection of capital.
That
may take it to an IPO.
Right.
And all of a sudden it's like, oh, we just got hit with a class action. Our end user agreement didn't cover something.
Boy.
We're toast. And the whole thing turned on like a paragraph that wasn't included in the document.
Amazing. Amazing. Well, we're going to have to wrap things up. Jack, thanks again, and we'll have you back next week. For more information for Jack Russo, you go to computerlaw.com. Is that right?
Computerlaw.com.
The Computer Law Group? Or
right.
We go by
CLG because people don't want to spell it all out, but the website is computerlaw.com, and it's Jack or J. Russo at computerlaw.com.
All right, thanks for tuning in again, and be sure to check out more information. Go to reradiolive.com. This is Joe Cacher with Real Estate Radio Live. Take care and have a great afternoon.
You've been listening to Real Estate Radio Live. For more information on today's program, visit reradiolive.com. That's reradiolive.com. Subscribe to our podcast. Discover more at reradiolive.com.